You're listening to the free edition of Sweden in Focus from The Local. If you would like to listen to a full-length version of the podcast, as well as an additional midweek episode, please check the episode notes for details on how to upgrade to Membership Plus. Here's this week's free edition.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Sweden in Focus, the Local's weekly news podcast. We're recording this episode on the 21st of March, and this week we're going to talk about a foiled plot to attack the Swedish Parliament, why the Christian Democrats and Sweden Democrats are suddenly at each other's throats, and how dad joke level wordplay gave Sweden a special day for waffles. For Membership Plus subscribers, we'll discuss why Ukraine's ambassador lodged a furious complaint over comments made on a Swedish television game show. We'll hear about an American pensioner who took on the Swedish tax authorities and won. And we'll ask if the language barrier between Danish and Swedish is too high for mutual intelligibility. I'm Paul O'Mahony in Stockholm, and I'm joined today from Malmö by our regular panellists, Emma Lovegreen and Becky Waterton. How are you both? How are things in Malmö?
Good. I don't understand a word of Danish, despite having lived in southern Sweden all my life. It's a bit embarrassing that Becky speaks better Danish than I do.
No, I'm still disappointed I don't have a Scanian accent, so you'll always be able to one-up me on that, Emma.
I do have a bit of a Scanian accent.
I think so. I think you've got a Scanian accent as well. Yeah.
Okay, I'm less disappointed now.
So one sure sign of spring is the arrival of Waffle Day on the 25th of March, which falls on Monday this year. What can you tell us about this tradition, Emma? Why, in the name of all that is sacred, does Sweden have a special day for eating waffles?
It's funny you should say, because it is sacred. It falls on the Feast of the Annunciation, which is when the angel Gabriel visited Virgin Mary to tell her that she would give birth to Jesus. And this day is also called Our Lady Day, or in Swedish, Vår Fridagen. And now if you say Vår Fridagen 10 times really, really fast, it sounds a lot like Waffeldagen, which means Waffle Day. So the Swedes thought, well, you know, we're pretty secular, but we like waffles, so this sounds like a fantastic compromise.
That is kind of nuts. What a random reason to have a special day for waffles. And how do Swedes eat their waffles, Becky?
Well, Swedish waffles are kind of thin and crispy. They're not like the kind of thicker Belgian waffles. And they are normally eaten with jam and cream. So none of this American bacon and maple syrup situation. It's strictly jam and cream. Maybe a bit of ice cream if you're feeling generous.
Okay, thanks. I've actually got some questions for you about Waffle Day.
I didn't even know we were going to have a quiz.
Yeah, I want to underline that this has come as a shock to me and Emma. We are not prepared for this. So if all our answers are wrong, we
completely caught off guard.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, but...
So the 25th of March, Waffle Day, is also a day traditionally associated in Sweden with a particular bird. What bird?
I know.
Okay, Emma, go.
Crane.
Yes.
Well, trana.
Exactly.
In Swedish.
Trana, yeah. It's crane day. Why?
I don't know, but this came up on Wikipedia when I was researching the origins of Waffle Day.
Do cranes like waffles? Is that why?
Cranes like waffles. Yeah, exactly. That's it. No, it's because it's the time of year when cranes traditionally return to Sweden. And it's a day that's mostly observed in Kalmar, Öland, Kronoberg, and Blekinge. As you mentioned, Emma, it's also the Feast of the Annunciation, which used to be a day off work in Sweden. When did it stop being a public holiday? Was it in the 1950s, the 1970s, or the 1990s?
I know the answer to that as well.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. I think I might even remember the correct year, maybe.
Go on.
1953?
I don't know the year. It was the early 1950s. So yeah, how do you know that?
It also came up when I was researching Waffle Day.
I feel like I'm at an extreme disadvantage by not being asked to prep the Waffle Day question, though.
Yeah, I mean, this next one came up when I was researching Waffle Day, so it's very possible that Emma will know the answer as well. So when Sweden was a more agrarian society, people used to talk about vårfrudagsrepen, What did that refer to?
I've no idea. I can try to guess.
Go on, yeah, go for it.
Does it have something to do with like washing yourself?
It doesn't.
No. Okay.
So previously, people divided the agricultural year into quarters called repar.
Mm-hmm.
So in southern Sweden, for example, it marked the start of the ploughing season.
Okay. Well, Waffle Day is the only day of the year when I wash myself, so...
You guys should be happy you're not sharing a studio with her. Maybe you can smile out from Stockholm.
I'm happy to say we've got a sponsor this week, Stockholm's Akademiska Forum. And you might remember that we had the head of the organization, Maria Fogelström Kylberg, on here previously as a guest. Well, she is also the host of their excellent podcast, Stockholm is a State of Minds. Now, every year, brilliant people from all over the world move to Stockholm and Sweden for work, studies, love, or as an accompanying partner. If this describes you and you're curious about what makes Swedish society tick, then you should definitely tune in. The podcast, again, is Stockholm is a State of Minds, and it's available wherever you listen to podcasts, and it's a great tool if you want to become more Swedish. Let's get into the news now and reports of a planned terror attack targeting the Swedish parliament. What do we know about this story?
Yeah, so according to German newspaper Der Spiegel, the two men who were aged 23 and 30 were arrested in a city called Gera, south of Leipzig in Germany. They're identified by German media as Ibrahim M.G., and Ramin N, and are allegedly Afghan citizens linked to IS Khorasan, also known as ISPK, which is a splinter group of the Islamic State terror group based in Afghanistan. Their plan essentially was to open fire on police officers and other people around the building, possibly inside the building of the Swedish parliament, in retaliation for the Quran burnings, which have taken place in Sweden in recent years, which we've spoken about on the podcast before.
Mm.
According to the prosecutor's arrest order, they made concrete preparations for the attack alongside officials from ISPK, this splinter group, which included kind of researching the area online to pinpoint a possible location and trying to get hold of weapons, which they were unsuccessful in doing. Yeah, that's basically all we know so far.
Okay, thanks for that summary, Becky. Yeah, and I'm sure we'll continue to follow this if there are any developments. Before we move on, I just want to mention the next episode of Sweden in Focus Extra, which features a conversation with Jonas Engman from the Nordic Museum about Swedish Easter traditions.
One thing that is interesting is that up until 1969, I believe, there were actually a law against restaurants and cinemas having open. So they were not supposed to be open on the Friday. So it was as late as 1969 or maybe 68 that the law was abandoned. And that tells us something about Swedish society. Nowadays, we speak of Swedish society as the most secular country in the world, which I think actually is true. But that reflects that religion, Christianity, and the Christian order of things were very strong up until a few decades ago. And that has a part of the explanation is that the church and the state were one thing since the 16th century.
That was Jonas Engman, and we'll have that full interview for Membership Plus subscribers on Wednesday. And the Nordic Museum, where he is a curator, has a major exhibition at the moment called Explore Nordic Life. And it sounds like it might be well worth a visit around the Easter holidays. A high-profile war of words broke out in recent days between the leader of the Christian Democrats, Ebba Busch, and the leader of the Sweden Democrats, Jimmy Åkesson. Can you break this down for us, Emma? What started the row and how has it developed?
So it started with an interview in DN with Alice Teodorescu-Morve, who is the Christian Democrats' new top candidate for the EU election. She's quite a well-known name in Sweden. She's previously been a journalist and political opinion writer, and she's known for being quite right-wing and in favor of very strict migration laws. She was born in communist Romania, and she fled to Sweden when she was just 5. And that's relevant because she referred to that herself in the interview with Dan when she spoke about the differences between her and the far-right Sweden Democrats. So she mentioned their Nazi roots, and she said, "I have nothing in common with the Sweden Democrats. I want Sweden to continue to accept little Alice's." And that did not go down well with Jimmie Åkesson, who's the leader of the Sweden Democrats. And he posted on X that he couldn't stomach these, quote, self-righteous finborgare, which I guess is best translated as kind of posh conservatives, who, quote, in all their grandeur express lagom realism, but are too good to move outside the left liberal framework, and instead they let others do the dirty work for them. And he didn't mention her by name or link to the DN article, but it was pretty obvious who he was talking about. Mm. And that did not go down well with Ebba Busch, who's the leader of the Christian Democrats, who wrote a long post in response, basically arguing that, well, it was Alice and I who helped you gain power, so you should be grateful. And we've got over the fact that you have Nazi roots, so you should too. She told Swedish media afterwards that Mummy Ebba had had to step in and draw a line. I read an opinion piece by liberal writer Isabel Hadley-Krantz in DN, pointing out that Bush has, on many occasions, stayed quiet when the Sweden Democrats have railed against Muslims, for example. But, you know, don't you dare call my friend self-righteous, because you don't talk like that. That is where I draw the line. Not that Bush was much more polite, mind you. She called Åkesson a snowflake. She called him passive-aggressive. And having a quote-unquote microscopic fig leaf, which can in Swedish, just as in English, mean that someone is hiding something, but it made everyone wonder, like, is she saying that he has a small penis? So that's the level of the debate right now.
Oh, dear. And how is this spat being interpreted, Becky? Is it like a genuine split between one of the governing parties and the party they rely upon to govern? Or is it a way for the parties to differentiate themselves and garner attention ahead of the upcoming European elections?
It's being interpreted as mostly the latter, as far as I can see. It's not a coincidence this is happening a few months before the EU elections, and both parties want the same group of voters. In an article for Dagens Nyheter titled Election Break in the Tidö Factory, so like people commonly refer to the government and the Sweden Democrats as the Tidö parties, journalist Thomas Ramberg argues that that's essentially what the quarrel is about. For the Christian Democrats, he basically says that they run the risk of dropping out of the EU Parliament entirely. So, you know, they're pretty desperate. And for Bush herself, if they drop out of the EU Parliament, that could be the last straw for her leadership. You know, she's had a few scandals in her tenure. Maybe her party will decide to replace her if the EU elections don't go as planned. And then the Sweden Democrats, as well as the moderates, they're after voters who voted for the Christian Democrats' former candidate Sara Huttedal, who we've spoken about before as well. So this is like right-wing, a bit Eurosceptic voters. Not quite Eurosceptic that they want to leave, but, you know, maybe less kind of powers to the EU. And I mean, the three parties also share the same policy, at least on immigration, since they co-authored the Tidö agreement that they're all kind of ruling on. So it's difficult for them to distance themselves from each other on policy. So Ramberg essentially says that that's what like Åkesson and Bush are trying to distance themselves from each other here. And when you can't distance yourself on policy, you have to distance yourself in other ways, like by using rhetoric. And this is also giving them a lot of media coverage. And I, you know, I guess some voters might choose who to vote for based on whoever they think wins this fight. I mean, I doubt any of it will lead to the parties refusing to work together. They might hate each other sometimes, but there's no way they let it go so far that they hand over power to the Social Democrats.
I think the Sweden Democrats are quite worried that Alice Teodorescu-Mowe will steal votes from them because she is kind of, she's made a name for herself of being quite sort of strict on migration, which they normally see as their kind of territory. Mm. And I don't think that's, it's not a coincidence that they use the word finborgare to describe her. Because, sorry, it gets a bit tedious to talk about female politicians' clothes, but she kind of dresses well. She always sort of looks the part and she looks a bit posh. So they're kind of going after her on that, trying to create this image in their voters' heads that, well, no, she's too posh and urban for us. She's not one of us.
I mean, that also appeals to their core voters. The Sweden Democrats are popular rural areas, people with a lower level of education. So they're the kind of people that would dislike posh people, essentially.
Yeah, someone who studied law in England.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Yeah. So it's unlikely that this row is something that would bring down the government, but the Sweden Democrats have gone as far as to invoke the mutual respect clause in the TIDA agreement, lodging a complaint in government offices against the Christian Democrats. So they're basing their complaint on this kind of extraordinary paragraph in the agreement signed by the three governing parties and the Sweden Democrats that states, "The cooperating parties are to contribute to a positive climate of cooperation by acting in a dignified manner and speaking respectfully about each other's central representatives. However," it goes on, "any public discussion based on differences of opinion between the cooperating parties on policy issues should be welcomed as a natural part of open and democratic public debate in a free society." I mean, it is kind of remarkable, isn't it, that the Sweden Democrats are triggering this clause. They themselves don't challenge the fact that Jimmie Åkesson and other central figures joined the party at a time when it was still associated with the neo-Nazi movement. So it's not like Teodorescu Mova said anything particularly shocking. So what did they say their reason was for protesting?
Well, I mean, they were like, oh, here's a nice stone. I wonder what will happen if I give it a good throw in my glass house. But I don't know. They didn't really give much of a reason other than that they thought she'd been a bit mean to leading Sweden Democrats. And speaking to the Expressen newspaper, their press spokesperson, Oskar Cavalli-Björkman, he doubled down on what Jimmie Åkesson said in his initial reaction to Teodorescu Mova's comments. And Cavalli-Björkman said that it's clearly difficult for posh conservatives and finborgare, so that's that term again, like Alice, to get used to the fact that we've been right about immigration all along. I think she should in future be very careful in speculating about colleagues' opinions, particularly colleagues with whom her party has a deep cooperation. So that does sort of hammer home the message that the Sweden Democrats, while the other parties have taken on board their anti-immigration policies, they are the true standard bearers for a less multicultural Sweden.
Okay, thanks both. So I've been listening to Swedish politics podcasts in recent days and they're having an absolute field day with this. It's going to be very interesting to see who, if anyone, benefits from it in terms of voter support when the EU elections come around. That's all for this week's free edition of Sweden in Focus. If you'd like to hear a full-length version of the podcast each week, as well as an additional midweek episode with more interviews and analysis, please upgrade to Membership Plus. Make sure to check the episode notes for details on how to upgrade. Sweden in Focus is a podcast by The Local Europe. Our sound engineer is Rhys Edwards. The publisher is James Savage.